Well, would you please guide us in our morning meditation before we start the
Yes.
Dhamma? Thank you.
Yes. So, yeah, it's always good to do some meditation, some reflection to generate a positive state of mind, a positive motivation for listening to teachings.
Jadi teman-teman, sebelum memulai sebuah ajaran, sangat baik kita melakukan perenungan dan refleksi, serta membangkitkan motivasi.
So we ourselves wish for happiness, for good experiences, and we don't want any pain, any problems, any bad experiences.
Kita semua ingin bahagia, mendapatkan pengalaman-pengalaman yang baik, tidak ingin merasakan kesusahan dan pengalaman-pengalaman yang tidak menyenangkan.
And we should be happy. We deserve to have happiness. We shouldn't have to suffer. Nobody should have to suffer.
Kita bersyukur, kita bisa bahagia, kita layak bahagia, dan tidak ada satu makhluk pun yang pantas untuk menderita.
So just as we feel this way, this is what we feel in our own mind and our own heart. The same is true for everyone else. All other people and all other beings just want to be happy and do not want to suffer.
Dan demikian pula dengan semua makhluk. Sama seperti kita, mereka pun ingin bahagia dan tidak ingin merasakan penderitaan.
So see if you can feel in your heart the wish for all people and all beings everywhere to have happiness and to be free of suffering.
Dan coba rasakan dalam diri Anda, Anda ingin bahwa semua makhluk itu bahagia dan bebas dari penderitaan.
And then see if you can feel the wish that you yourself could make a contribution, even a small one, to the happiness and well-being of others and help them be free of suffering.
Dan renungkan bagaimana kita, semampu kita, itu membantu untuk menimbulkan kebahagiaan dan mengurangi penderitaan kepada makhluk lain.
And the text that we are studying, the 37 practices of bodhisattvas, teaches us how we can do that, how we can bring more happiness to others and relieve their suffering.
Dan teks yang kita pelajari, 37 praktik bodhisattva, adalah panduan agar kita dapat membahagiakan makhluk-makhluk lain dan membebaskan penderitaan mereka.
So as we listen to and think about and talk about the teachings in this text, let's do it with the right motivation, which is, may I be helpful to other beings as much as I can in my life. May I learn something from this text that I can use to help others.
Ya, sambil kita belajar, membaca, mendiskusikan, kita tumbuhkan motivasi ya, bahwa kita mempelajarinya semata-mata agar kita dapat membantu membawakan kebahagiaan untuk makhluk lain dan membebaskan penderitaan yang mereka rasakan.
Okay, so you can open your eyes now and really try to keep that feeling inside of you, inside of your heart, as we continue with this this teaching.
Ya, silakan teman-teman boleh membuka mata dan berusaha agar energi ini, perasaan yang motivasi yang tadi sudah kita bangkitkan akan terus bersama kita sepanjang pembelajaran hari ini.
So, I want to thank you for inviting me or letting me give this talk in place of Venerable Children who is recovering from surgery last week.
Ya, pertama-tama terima kasih atas kesempatan kepada saya untuk berbagi menggantikan Venerable Chodron yang sedang dalam proses penyembuhan dari operasi minggu lalu.
And she told me that so far you have finished the first 21 verses of the text. So I will start with verse 22. Is that right?
That's right, Venerable. That's right. We have 15 more to go.
You have this in Bahasa, this text?
I'm not sure, but I do have the English version.
But the people...
We have the book.
You have the book. Oh, okay. Which book is it? Is it from which teacher? From Venerable Children? Or?
Yes, right. Okay. This is translated to Indonesia.
Okay, very good. Okay, so... Verse 22, I'll just read it in English. You can read it in Bahasa. It says, whatever appears is your own mind. Your mind from the start was free from fabricated extremes. Understanding this, do not take to mind inherent signs of subject and object. This is the practice of bodhisattvas.
Ya, jadi ayat syair 22 ini berbunyi seperti ini ya. Judulnya adalah realisasi sunyata. Jadi apapun yang muncul di pikiran Anda, sesungguhnya sejak awal pikiran Anda telah bebas dari fabricated extreme. Ini agak susah terjemahan Indonesianya, nanti belakangan deh kita lihat lebih detail ya. Dengan memahami ini ya, jangan menganggap tanda-tanda itu sebagai sebuah subjek atau objek. Jadi jangan menganggap tanda-tanda yang dimunculkan oleh pikiran itu sebagai sesuatu subjek atau objek.
So this verse is about the topic of emptiness, which is quite a difficult topic. I don't know if you've had a chance before to learn about emptiness, discuss emptiness. Is it something you are familiar with?
Ya, jadi topik ini bicara tentang sunyata atau kekosongan. Cukup rumit, cukup sulit sebenarnya. Dan apakah teman-teman pernah membahas ini sebelumnya ya?
So is it something you've heard about before? You've learned about before?
Ini Anda pernah dengar, pernah pelajari sebelumnya? For me personally, yes, Venerable, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure. Yeah.
I don't know about other friends.
Yeah. It's a difficult topic. It's probably one of the most difficult topics in Buddhism.
Yes, indeed. But after a few discussion with some friends, probably we finally grasp the, let's say, the tiny understanding of the
Yeah, slowly, slowly the understanding builds up.
Jadi saya bilang ini termasuk yang agak menantang untuk dipahami, tapi seiring waktu bila kita sering membahasnya, maka nanti akan ada pengertian yang terjadi ya, meskipun baru sedikit saja. Dan perlahan-perlahan kita akan lebih paham jadinya.
And also, I don't know if you've learned about this before, but they say that when it comes to bodhicitta, the aspiration to become a Buddha for the benefit of all beings, there's two kinds of bodhicitta. There's conventional bodhicitta and ultimate bodhicitta. I don't know whether or not Venerable Children talked about that before with you.
Belum. Nah, ini yang teman-teman boleh respon ya, jadi dijawab gitu. I don't we can review it vulnerable. Personally, I've read in some other text, but maybe some friends need some guidelines.
Yeah.
For these two kinds of
bodhicittas. Anyway, so what conventional bodhicitta is the usual bodhicitta. That's where we feel compassion and love, and we want to help others, and we want to become a Buddha to help all living beings. So it's what we normally understand as bodhicitta. That's called conventional bodhicitta.
Bodhicitta umum atau conventional adalah yang kita tahu ya, bahwa kita ada duka, ingin membantu, menolong, membebaskan makhluk dari samsara. Nah, itu disebut sebagai bodhicitta konvensional.
And then the other one is called ultimate bodhicitta, or some translators would say absolute bodhicitta. So that refers to the wisdom that understands emptiness in the mind of a bodhisattva. So a bodhisattva, a bodhisattva's wisdom understanding emptiness is called ultimate bodhicitta.
Ya, jadi bodhicitta yang ultimate, yang tertinggi adalah bodhisattva yang telah merealisasi emptiness ini atau sunyata ini. Inilah disebut sebagai bodhicitta yang ultimate, yang absolute.
So, a bodhisattva has to develop not only these feelings of compassion and love and generosity and, you know, wanting to help other beings, but a bodhisattva also needs to develop the wisdom that understands reality, the true nature of things. Without that wisdom, they will not be able to reach Buddhahood. They won't be able to become a Buddha.
I think there's a problem with Moming's internet. Hi, Moming.
Just came back.
I'm so sorry. I don't know why it disconnected. But the last time I heard you were discussing about the definition of the conventional bodhicitta, like a bodhisattva, besides having the compassion and wisdom.
Yeah.
And after that, I'm so sorry, I don't know.
You lost the connection. Yeah, no, I was saying that conventional bodhicitta is what we normally understand as bodhicitta. It's feeling compassion and love, wanting to help all living beings, wanting to become a Buddha to help all living beings. So that's conventional bodhicitta. And then ultimate bodhicitta is the wisdom that understands the true nature of things, emptiness, in the mind of a bodhisattva. A bodhisattva's wisdom. Is that clear?
Jadi, yes, that's clear, benar bang. Jadi kalau bodhicitta konvensional itu adalah compassion kita, aspirasi kita ketika kita melihat penderitaan ya dari makhluk lain. Sedangkan bodhicitta absolut itu adalah kebijaksanaan atau kearifan dari bodhisattva yang telah merealisasikan emptiness itu sendiri atau sunyata itu sendiri.
Because they say that, you know, a bodhisattva wants to become a Buddha. And to become a Buddha, you have to develop these two aspects of the path, which are sometimes compared to two wings of a bird. Just like a bird needs two wings to be able to fly, a bodhisattva needs two wings of compassion and wisdom. So on one side, they have compassion for all living beings. On the other side, they have the wisdom that understands the true nature of things. So if they're missing one of those two things, they won't be able to fly to Buddhahood.
Ya, jadi bodhicitta ini kan, bodhisattva ini beraspirasi untuk menjadi Buddha. Dan untuk itu dibutuhkan dua kondisi yang saling mendukung, yaitu kasih sayang dan kearifan, di mana ini sering diilustrasikan sebagai sepasang sayap dari seekor burung. Ya, bila salah satunya tidak ada, maka burung itu tidak dapat terbang. Artinya bodhisattva tidak dapat menuju ke Buddha. Sayapnya adalah kasih sayang, ya, dan satu lagi adalah kearifan, yang mengerti. Jadi kearifan ini, yang maksud kearifan adalah kearifan yang memahami kenyataan, ya, atau keapaadaan dari segala sesuatu yang ada. Kalau kasih sayangnya adalah melihat penderitaan dan ingin membantu membebaskan makhluk-makhluk dari samsara.
So this verse is talking about wisdom, how to develop wisdom.
Jadi ayat ini kita bicara tentang kearifan. Bagaimana kita dapat mengembangkan kearifan.
Yeah, so the first line says, whatever appears is your own mind. Now that can sound a bit strange, because that means, like, if I look at this computer in front of me, is this computer my mind?
Ayat bait pertamanya berbunyi bahwa apapun yang muncul itu adalah pikiranmu sendiri. Ayat ini mungkin sedikit membingungkan, ya, karena apakah sekarang saya duduk di depan komputer, apakah komputer yang saya lihat ini adalah pikiran saya?
So it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean everything that we see is our mind. What it means is that everything we see is dependent on our mind, is related to our mind.
Sesungguhnya artinya bukan itu, melainkan apapun yang kita lihat ini berkaitan dengan pikiran kita.
So usually when we see things, whether it's the computer, a phone, a person, an animal, a food, whatever we see, it seems as if it's existing completely out there, external to our mind, and has nothing to do with our mind. It's like totally separate from our mind. That's how things appear.
Jadi biasanya kita tuh menganggap bahwa yang kita lihat, ya, apapun itu tidak terkoneksi dengan diri kita, dengan pikiran kita. Tidak ada hubungannya sama sekali. Apapun itu yang kita lihat.
But this is actually not true. It's not true that things are totally separate and independent of our mind.
Ya, tapi ini enggak benar, ya. Sesungguhnya tidak tepat, tidak benar bahwa segala sesuatu itu tidak berhubungan dengan pikiran kita.
Because if that was true, if everything was totally separate from our mind and everything had its own independent way of existing, then everybody would see things in the same way.
Karena bila segala sesuatu itu sepenuhnya secara total terpisah dari pikiran, maka semua orang itu akan melihat sesuatu itu dengan sama, yang dilihat sama.
But it's not true that we all see things in the same way. For example, when you go to a movie or if you listen to music and you're with other people, you're with some family members and some friends, so you're all watching this movie together or you're listening to this music together, does everybody experience it in the same way?
Ya, tapi ini kan nggak benar ya. Maksudnya bahwa kita mengalami segala sesuatu itu sama persis, enggak. Contohnya bila kita pergi menonton film atau misalnya kita mendengar musik. Nah, apakah setiap orang yang nonton bersama kita itu memiliki pengalaman yang sama, merasakan hal yang sama?
Yeah. So usually if you talk with each other about the movie or about the music, some will say, "Oh, I really like that. That was really nice." But somebody else said, "Oh, I didn't like that at all. It was terrible." Right? This is what happens.
Kenyataannya kan enggak ya, bila kita nonton film ya, kita nonton film yang sama dengan teman atau anggota keluarga, ketika kita membicarakan film itu, kita bilang, "Oh, filmnya bagus." Yang lain bilang, "Enggak, itu filmnya jelek." Nah, itu sudah satu and bukti ya.
Yeah, it's the same with everything, like food as well. I lived in Singapore for many years, and so I encountered durian. I'm sure you have durian also in Indonesia. Yeah, and so many people, they said, "Oh, I love durian, I love durian." But for me, it's like, "Oh, I don't even like to smell it."
Venerable, that's too bad. That's the tastiest food ever in the world.
So you see, you have your experience of durian and I have my experience of durian.
Okay. Nah, jadi contohnya durian ya. Misalnya beliau tinggal di Singapura cukup lama dan bayangkan beliau tidak suka durian. Nah, kita orang Indonesia tuh suka banget durian. Buat beliau tuh baunya luar biasa. Itulah satu contoh bahwa kita punya pengalaman yang berbeda.
So that kind of thing shows that the object itself doesn't exist completely separate and independent of our mind, but rather our mind will place different qualities on an object. You know, we say, "Oh, this is good," or "This is not good," but it's dependent on our mind. It's coming from our mind rather than from the object itself.
Oke, okay. Jadi kalau kita mengatakan bahwa objek itu terpisah dari pikiran, maka itu tidak punya tepat karena objek ini punya label, sesungguhnya itu keluar atau bersumber dari pikiran kita.
Yeah, because if durian was really, really wonderful and delicious from its own side, everybody would experience it that way. But that's not true.
Contohnya gini, bila durian itu sesungguhnya dari sananya itu memang sangat-sangat lezat, ya, sangat nikmat, maka setiap orang akan mengalami pengalaman yang sama. Tapi kenyataannya kan tidak.
So this shows that things are dependent on our mind. What appears to us, what we perceive, what we experience isn't completely independent of our mind, but it depends on our mind.
Ya, jadi apa yang kita lihat, objek itu bergantung kepada pikiran kita. Jadi tidak sepenuhnya terlepas dari pikiran kita sendiri.
Another example of this is with people. So a person, another human being, is just a combination of body and mind. You know, they have a physical body and they have a mind with all the thoughts and so on. So there's this combination of body and mind. And a person is not really good or bad from their own side in and of themselves. But rather when we look at a person, we see a person, we tend to project a lot of things on that person. Good things or bad things, and then we like the person or we don't like the person. So a lot of it is coming from our own mind.
Ya, demikian juga kaitannya dengan manusia, ya, bahwa manusia ini kan terdiri dari tubuh, ya, jasmani dan pikiran. Ada orang yang kita suka, ada yang kita tidak suka, dan itu bukan dari sananya orang tersebut, melainkan adalah proyeksi dari pikiran kita sendiri.
So, if there's somebody we don't like, right? There's a person and we think, oh, that's a really horrible person. That's a really bad person. I don't like them. We tend to think that person is completely 100% bad from their own side. And they're really like that. The person is really like that.
Ada misalnya ada seseorang yang kita tidak suka. Kita berpikir 100% bahwa dia jahat, dia buruk. Nah, orang itu ya seperti itu. Dia sungguh-sungguh buruk, dia sungguh-sungguh jahat. Itu yang kita yakini.
But in fact, nobody is 100% bad. Everybody has some bad qualities, but they also have some good qualities. So it's our mind that's sort of projecting a lot of extra bad qualities onto that person.
Ya, tapi itu kan nggak benar ya, karena nggak ada yang orang yang 100% buruk ya, dan pikiran kita lah yang memproyeksikan, yang menginjekkan kualitas-kualitas buruk itu kepada orang tersebut.
So this is something we say in Buddhism. But the Dalai Lama says he met one psychologist, American psychologist, who said the same thing. The psychologist said, you know, when we don't like somebody and we think they're 100% bad, 90% of this badness is projected by our own mind.
Dan ini sama ya dengan yang diyakini oleh dalam ilmu psikologi, ya. Kalau tadi kan kita bahasnya agama Buddha. Nah, Dalai Lama bertemu dengan seorang psikolog yang mengatakan hal yang sama, bahwa ketika kita menganggap seseorang buruk, maka 90% keburukannya itu adalah hasil dari proyeksi pikiran kita sendiri. Hasil dari proyeksi itu berarti apa yang kita munculkan di dalam pikiran kita sendiri.
But we do the same also with people we like. When there's a person that we really like, we also tend to project a lot of extra good qualities onto that person.
Ya, hal yang sama juga berlaku kepada orang yang kita suka. Kita memproyeksikan kualitas-kualitas ekstra dari orang tersebut.
This is especially true when somebody falls in love with another person. They fall in love with this person, and they have all these kind of fantasies. Oh, this person is so wonderful, is so perfect. He's like a god, like a goddess. Oh, if only I could get close to this person, I will be so happy forever and ever. So the mind sort of, you know, exaggerates a lot of, you know, qualities. I mean, the person does have some good qualities, but the mind blows them up, exaggerates them much more than what's really there.
Ya, contoh nyata adalah ketika seseorang jatuh cinta. Dia berpikir bahwa orang ini baik sekali, ya, sangat cantik. Saya akan bahagia sekali kalau dapat bersamanya dan dapat memilikinya. Dan pikiran kita itu menciptakan, melebih-lebihkan kualitas yang ada dalam diri orang tersebut.
But this is not something that we do deliberately, consciously. It's just the way that our mind works, kind of unconsciously. We're talking about a sort of unconscious process rather than something conscious and deliberate.
Sesungguhnya kita melakukan ini itu enggak sengaja, tanpa sengaja, melainkan sebuah proses yang terjadi tanpa sadar.
So There's a number of steps in the process. The first step is that an object just appears to us. So it could be a person, it could be a computer, a phone, a piece of food, whatever, just some kind of object appears to our mind. And so we just have this perception of the object. And then the object will appear either attractive or unattractive, something we like or something we don't like. That's the next step. We feel, I like that. And then our mind will start to add things to what's actually there. So if we like the object, we find it attractive, we add even more good qualities onto it. But if we find the object kind of unattractive, then we add, the mind adds all these extra bad qualities. So then the object is kind of exaggerated, is blown up into being really wonderful or really terrible.
Cukup panjang ya, tapi esensinya begini. Sesuatu yang kita lihat itu akhirnya kita lebih-lebihkan. Apakah yang baiknya atau yang buruknya. Ya. Jadi endingnya adalah gitu, kita melebih-lebihkan sebuah objek, apakah itu manusia atau apakah itu benda. Prosesnya dimulai dari ketika kita melihat sesuatu atau ketika objek itu muncul dan kita kemudian memberikan sebuah tanggapan dalam bentuk menarik atau tidak menarik, suka atau tidak suka. Nah, ketika objek tersebut terlihat menarik, dan kita suka, kita juga melebih-lebihkan. Kalau kita tidak suka atau objeknya tidak menarik, kita juga memberikan label-label tambahan. Sehingga akhirnya objek tersebut menjadi berlebihan di dalam di mata kita atau di dalam diri.
So then after exaggerating the object, making it more wonderful or more terrible than it really is, and then we have either attachment, we have desire, attachment, grasping at the attractive object, or we have aversion, anger, hatred towards the unattractive object. And then we start acting, creating karma, you know, trying to get closer to the nice object or trying to get away from the bad object. So this is how, according to Buddhism, how we get caught up in our afflictive emotions, and then we create karma, and then we have more suffering because of all of this.
Yeah. Okay. Jadi untuk hal yang kita suka, kita melekat, ya. Kita ingin dekat, kita ingin terus bersama. Untuk hal yang kita tidak suka, kita ingin jauhkan. Untuk yang suka, kita memunculkan keterikatan. Untuk yang kita tidak suka, kita muncul ketidaksukaan, bahkan sampai kebencian. Ya. Dan kemudian inilah yang memicu kita menciptakan karma. Dan dalam prosesnya, ini juga membuat kita semakin banyak menciptakan penderitaan dalam hidup kita.
So the Buddha's teachings say that we should not just immediately believe what our mind is telling us about people or about other objects, but instead investigate, analyze, and ask ourselves, does the object really exist the way that I see it?
Nah, dalam ajaran Buddha kita diminta untuk menyelidiki apakah objek ini sungguh-sungguh eksis sebagaimana adanya saya melihat objek tersebut.
So it's actually quite a long process. One has to learn about emptiness, study it, discuss it with other people, discuss it with your teacher to understand it. And then you have to think about it and you have to meditate on it. And slowly, slowly, it starts to make more sense. And you start seeing things in a different way.
Ya, ini prosesnya cukup panjang ya untuk dapat memahami ini. Sehingga pada akhirnya kita dapat melihat segala sesuatu dengan berbeda. ya prosesnya kita mesti pelajari, diskusikan, meditasikan, bahas dengan teman, dengan guru, sehingga kita dapat memahaminya.
So I'll give you an example from my own experience. Long ago, when I first went to Nepal and I started learning Buddhism, and also I became a nun. And one summer, myself and a few other friends decided to go into the mountains to Laudo. Laudo is the place where my teacher came from. And it's way up in the high mountains. And there's a monastery there where we could go and stay and do retreat. And so we took an airplane. We flew by this tiny little airplane into the mountains in order to get to this retreat center. When I was young, you know, much younger, I used to get really excited about mountains. You know, I loved looking at mountains and climbing mountains, and yeah, something about mountains I got really excited about. So on this journey, when I was flying by this airplane into the mountains, I was thinking, wow, I'm going to the Himalayan mountains. These are the highest mountains in the world. And so I was kind of really excited, really thrilled. But then I was looking out the window at these mountains and I was thinking, but actually they're just big rocks covered with snow. So what's the big deal?
Ya, jadi pengalaman saya, pengalaman beliau ya, waktu muda, lebih muda ketika belajar Dharma di Nepal, mereka pergi ke satu daerah di pegunungan untuk ke tempat gurunya untuk retret, dan sangat sangat gembira ya, sangat gembira. Wah, karena saya suka dengan pegunungan dan gembira sekali gitu. Dan pada saat di pesawat dan melihat gunung itu, dan terbersit pemikiran bahwa ya itu kan cuma batu-batu aja yang ditutupi oleh salju gitu.
So we could do that with any object that we might get kind of excited about or attached to, you know, like maybe an iPhone. You know, you think when you look at the iPhone, wow, look at that iPhone. Wow, it's so beautiful. It's so fantastic. I really want it. But then when you think about what it's actually made of, you know, there's just pieces of glass and plastic and metal and all these different wires and so on, you know, put together. And somehow, yeah, when you look at what's actually there, then you realize, well, it's really not such an exciting thing. I guess the excitement is what you can do with it, all the wonderful things, the cool things you can do with it. But when you look at what's actually there, what it's actually made of, you realize there's nothing really so exciting.
Kita juga dapat mempraktikkan yang beliau lakukan dengan sesuatu ya, dicontohkan telepon genggam, iPhone, kita sangat ingin memilikinya, ya, tapi kalau kita perhatikan ini kan cuman, bahannya kan cuman kumpulan-kumpulan, metal, plastik, kabel, dan sebagainya. Jadi dengan berpikir seperti itu, ketertarikan kita yang menggebu-gebu itu akan menjadi biasa-biasa saja. Mungkin yang kita tertarik itu adalah, saya bisa ngapain nih dengan iPhone tersebut? Tapi ketika kita melihatnya bahwa ini hanya kumpulan dari berbagai apa unsur, maka ini dapat membantu kita untuk lebih apa melihat segala sesuatu dengan apa adanya.
So this is something we can do to start going in the direction of understanding emptiness. It's just looking at how our mind perceives things and how we tend to exaggerate and project more qualities than are really there. And that's really helpful because then that can help to bring down our attachment, our desire for things.
Yeah. Praktek ini ya akan dapat membantu kita untuk lebih merendahkan ya kualitas atau keterikatan kita kepada segala sesuatu, karena kita telah paham bahwa sesungguhnya pikiran kitalah yang melebih-lebihkan kualitas daripada sebuah objek.
Yeah, and to just see the role that our mind plays, you know, our mind plays a big role in the way things appear to us, whether we like them or we don't like them, whether we have attachment or we have aversion. A lot of this is coming from our own mind.
Ya, sesungguhnya kita dapat juga memahami bagaimana pikiran kita punya peran yang sangat besar dalam menentukan apakah kita menyukai atau tidak menyukai sesuatu, terikat atau tidak terikat kepada sesuatu, bahwa ini adalah proyeksi dari pikiran kita sendiri.
So that's just a rough meaning of the first line of the verse. And the second line says, your mind from the start was free from fabricated extremes. So what that means is, so then people might think, wow, my mind is something very real and, you know, existing independently on its own. But the mind is also not as real and independent as we think it is.
Ya, kita juga berpikir bahwa oh, berarti pikiran saya ini bebas ya, merdeka dari segala sesuatu atau eksis dari sananya. Tetapi sesungguhnya enggak juga, enggak seperti itu.
So in Buddhism we say that our mind is always changing. It's never the same from one moment to the next. So every moment we have different thoughts, different experiences, different feelings, different perceptions. So it's said to be like a stream, like a river, that's always moving and always changing and never the same. And so when we look at the mind, we examine the mind, we can also see our mind is not something so real as it might appear to be.
Jadi kalau kita amati pikiran kita sesungguhnya itu tidak kelihatannya seperti itu ya. Kenapa? Karena pikiran kita ini terus berubah seperti sebuah arus di mana pemikiran kita, persepsi kita, perasaan kita, bentuk-bentuk pikiran kita itu selalu berubah.
Mine is more difficult because we can't see it. We can see a body, we can see a car, we can see a durian. So these are physical objects that we can look at and see what they're made of. But the mind is something invisible. We can't see it with our eyes. But that's why it's really important to meditate, to do practice of meditation, so we can watch our mind and get more understanding of our mind.
Ya, pikiran agak sulit ya, karena berbeda dengan mobil, orang, atau objek-objek yang kita tentu dapat lihat. Tapi kan pikiran tidak dapat kita lihat. Itulah sebabnya kita perlu untuk berlatih samadhi, supaya kita dapat memahami pikiran itu sendiri, atau pikiran kita itu seperti apa.
So basically what this verse is saying is that when it both objects, the objects that we perceive, like people and things and places and so on, so those are the objects that we perceive, and also the mind that is perceiving everything, that is seeing things, experiencing things, both of these objects and mind or subjects, both of these do not exist in such a real way that they normally appear to us.
Ini artinya objek ya, yang kita lihat dan si pikiran itu sendiri yang mengenali objek. Sesungguhnya mereka tidak muncul, ya, tidak ada, tidak eksis, seperti yang kita anggap mereka ada.
So the verse mentions this expression, fabricated extremes. So fabricated extremes means there's two extremes, two kind of wrong ways of thinking about things. One extreme is that things have a much more real, solid, independent way of existing than they actually do. And we kind of grasp at things existing in that way. So that's one extreme. The other extreme is thinking that things don't exist at all. Like thinking, oh, I don't exist, my mind doesn't exist, people don't exist. People sometimes fall into that way of thinking when they start learning about emptiness. They think, oh, emptiness means nothing exists. I'm not here, you're not here, nothing is here. So that's the other extreme. So we need to avoid both of those two extremes. One is called the extreme of permanence, or, you know, grasping things as much more real than they are. The other extreme is called nihilism, which is just denying things, you know, thinking things don't exist at all. So we have to avoid those two extremes.
Okay.
Sorry, is that too much for you?
Okay, but well, as long as I can understand the main point that you're trying to teach us today. Jadi, kalau kita lihat bait keduanya ya, bahwa sesungguhnya pikiran Anda sejak awal itu telah bebas dari dua hal ekstrim yang terbentuk. Ya. Nah, jadi, apa sih dua hal ekstrim tersebut? Ekstrim yang pertama adalah menganggap segala sesuatu itu eksis ada dari sananya, atau menganggap segala sesuatu itu eksis secara solid, sehingga pikiran kita jadi menggenggam, mencengkeram, terikat. Ekstrimnya satu lagi adalah pikiran yang menganggap segala sesuatu itu tidak ada, atau lebih tepatnya disebut sebagai nihilisme. Nah, ketika orang belajar sunyata, belajar emptiness, mereka dapat cenderung terjebak di sisi yang satu lagi, menganggap bahwa saya nggak ada, kamu nggak ada, segala sesuatu itu pada dasarnya tidak ada di dunia. Jadi, ini ya, dua ekstrim ini yang kita mesti pahami dan kita mesti berhati-hati terhadap dua ekstrim ini. Yang satu membuat keterikatan, yang satu membuat kita menganggap segala sesuatunya itu tidak ada.
So, thank you. Yeah, so emptiness is a difficult subject, and realistically, one needs a lot of time to study it and understand it. Just to give you some idea, in the monasteries, the Tibetan monasteries, the monks and the nuns study for, I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 years, sometimes more. And they start with 12 years of sort of basic Buddhist philosophy. They study basic Buddhist philosophy for 12 years. And then after that, they study emptiness for 4 years. So it shows it's kind of like, you know, a very high level topic, and you need to spend a lot of time studying it to really understand it.
Jadi ini sunyata, ini satu topik yang memang butuh proses waktu ya, agar kita sungguh-sungguh dapat memahaminya. Sebagai sebuah gambaran, dalam tradisi agama Buddha Tibet, mereka mempelajari dasar-dasar filosofi Buddhis 12 tahun sebelum belajar tentang sunyata, yang mereka habiskan kurang lebih 4 tahun untuk memahaminya. Jadi konsep ini sungguh-sungguh satu hal yang butuh waktu yang untuk yang lama untuk dapat dipelajari dan dipahami.
But even though it's difficult, we shouldn't be discouraged and think, oh, that's too hard, I can't do that. Because it's very, very important. It's the main antidote to all of our afflictive emotions, like anger and attachment and jealousy, pride. So if we want to get rid of those in our mind, the only way to do that is to understand emptiness.
Ya, meskipun ya susah, tapi jangan patah semangat. Oke, kenapa? Karena bila kita ingin mampu menyingkirkan emosi-emosi negatif kita seperti sombongan, iri hati, kebencian, kemarahan, maka ini adalah salah satu obat penawarnya.
And that's really the whole purpose of Buddhism, is to bring about a change in our mind, a transformation in our mind, so that our mind is free of negative emotions, disturbing emotions, and our mind becomes really pure and full of only positive emotions. So that's the real goal of Buddhism, is totally changing our mind, transforming our mind. So emptiness is an essential part of that process.
Oke, okay. Jadi tujuan ya agama Buddha adalah untuk mentransformasi pikiran-pikiran negatif, emosi-emosi negatif menjadi yang baik-baik. Nah, inilah tujuan atau esensi yang tertinggi dari agama Buddha. Dan pemahaman terhadap sunyata ini sangat-sangat dibutuhkan untuk dapat mentransformasi pikiran menjadi lebih positif.
So maybe I can stop there and let you ask questions if you have any questions about what I talked about tonight, or if you have questions about something else related to Buddhism, okay. That would be fine.
Yes, benar-benar. Thank you. Baik, kita sampai di sesi tanya-jawab. Bila teman-teman punya pertanyaan yang berhubungan dengan topik kali ini atau berkaitan dengan agama Buddha, silakan. Kita masuk ke sesi tanya-jawab. Ini terlalu susah ya, jadi nggak ada yang nanya ya. Oke. Okay. Venerable, we had a question from last week. I hope you don't mind if I read it. So, it's related to greed. Greedy mind.
Greedy?
Greedy mind, yes.
Greedy mind. Mind that is
so mind that is great. In order that I don't have greedy mind, or my greedy mind doesn't develop, I try not to read or see advertisement. Okay, you know, if we see advertisement and then sometimes there is a desire popping up.
Yeah.
Like if you see an ad for a cell phone that you want to have that new cell phone.
Yeah. Okay?
So how is it to practice correctly so that we are not going to have more desire, so that we can, let's say, so we can practice not to being greedy in this life?
Sorry, what was the last thing? We can practice to something in this life?
Not being too greedy.
So the question is how to have less greediness, less attachment, less clinging to things. Is that right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes.
Actually, the next...
Because when we see...
Yeah.
The next verse.
It actually talks about that. So I was going to talk about this tonight, but then I thought maybe we ran out of time. But we could just look at it briefly. The next verse says, when you encounter attractive objects, though they seem beautiful, like a rainbow in summer, don't regard them as real and give up attachment. This is the practice of bodhisattvas.
Ya, jadi syair bait ke-23 ini berbunyi, ketika bertemu atau bersentuhan atau melihat objek-objek yang menarik, meskipun mereka terlihat indah, seperti rainbow apa ya, pelangi di musim panas, jangan anggap mereka itu nyata. Lepaskanlah keterikatanmu. Inilah praktik bodhisattva.
But this is actually, again, it's talking about understanding emptiness. So you know, when a person has studied emptiness and meditated on emptiness and they have some understanding, some experience of emptiness, then they're able to think like this. They're able to look at some beautiful object like an iPhone and understand that it's not as beautiful and wonderful as it appears to be, but it's like a rainbow. A rainbow is a good example because rainbows are very beautiful. When we see a rainbow in the sky, you know, we feel, wow, how beautiful. But we know that a rainbow isn't something we can grab onto. It's just an appearance because of the light, because of the rain. You know, it's just different conditions cause the rainbow to appear in the sky. But we know it's not as real as it appears. So there's nothing there we can really grab onto and hold onto. So if you have an understanding of emptiness, then you'll understand the same is true even with something like an iPhone or a BMW. It's like a rainbow. It's not as real as it appears. Sorry.
Okay,
right.
That's okay. Jadi dengan pemahaman, dengan mengerti tentang sunyata ini, maka kita dapat memahami bahwa segala sesuatu itu sesungguhnya tidak seindah yang terlihat. iPhone atau BMW itu tidak indah seperti kelihatannya. Dan para praktisi menggunakan pelangi sebagai contoh, karena pelangi itu indah. Kita dapat melihatnya indah. Sesungguhnya keindahan pelangi adalah perpaduan antara sinar matahari atau hujan, ya. Kita tahulah bagaimana pelangi itu dapat terbentuk. Dan tapi kita nggak bisa genggam, kita nggak bisa pegang, kita tidak bisa miliki, tidak dapat kita jadikan milik kita. Nah, dengan memahami sunyata, dengan memahami bahwa sebuah objek itu tidak terlihat seindah aslinya, inilah yang dapat kita petik atau manfaat dari kita memahami si sunyata itu.
But because emptiness is not easy to understand and it also takes time, I find that thinking about impermanence it's easier to understand and it's also very helpful to overcome attachment or greediness.
Karena sunyata ini juga cukup sulit untuk dipahami, saya merasa bahwa pemahaman terhadap ketidakkekalan itu lebih mudah untuk membantu kita mengatasi keserakahan atau keterikatan.
So impermanence means that like a car or an iPhone or a person, a human being, they are changing all the time. Every moment they are changing. And as they are changing, they are getting older and not so new anymore. And eventually at some point, they will go out of existence. They won't exist anymore. So Buddha said it's really, really important to understand impermanence, and that really helps us to let go of attachment to things.
Ya, pemahaman terhadap ketidakkekalan ini sangat-sangat penting, sangat berharga, sangat bernilai bagi kita agar kita dapat melepaskan keterikatan kepada banyak hal. Nah, pemahaman akan ketidakkekalan ini membuat kita merenungkan bahwa pada dasarnya segala sesuatu itu akan menua, ya, akan berakhir, dan akan membantu kita untuk lebih memahami kondisi kenyataan realita dalam hidup.
Because when we have attachment or greediness to some object, we feel like we want that object to last forever, to always be there and to always be the same way it is now. you know, always in this really, really nice way that it is now. We want it to be like that forever. And that's just not possible. Nothing lasts forever without changing. So it's a very unrealistic thinking.
Jadi keterikatan kita itu menimbulkan satu pemikiran yang tidak realistis. Apa pemikiran itu? Pemikiran bahwa kita mau objeknya tetap sama. Ya, kita mau dia tidak berubah, kita mau dia tetap seindah dulu. Nah, ini adalah pemikiran yang tidak realistis. Pengertian tentang ketidakkekalan membantu kita untuk mengatasi pemikiran ini.
Another thing that's helpful for overcoming attachment, the Buddha said that if we have desire, attachment, greediness, and if we follow that kind of thought or feeling, it's like drinking salt water. Because we never get satisfied. We always want more and more and better, and we never get to the point where we feel satisfied. Just like jadi, if you drink salt water, it just makes you more thirsty.
Ya, jadi Buddha mengajarkan bila kita terus mengikuti ya keinginan-keinginan tersebut, keterikatan-keterikatan itu, maka itu sama seperti minum air garam. Anda akan semakin haus, Anda akan tidak akan pernah merasa puas terhadap apa yang kita dapatkan. Bueno, but we have two questions from YouTube. Do you mind to answer the question or continue with the
English questions?
Yes, they are in English. I think you can just you can go to the chat. You can see.
Yeah, I see it. I have it there.
Yes.
So the first one says about emptiness. Does it mean nothing in everything we do in our life? Yeah. No feeling about joy or sad, no judgment, no me. So how to contemplate this as a layperson? No, emptiness doesn't mean nothing. It doesn't mean nothingness. No joy, no sadness, no judgment, no me. It doesn't mean that. Emptiness means things do exist. They just don't exist in the way we usually think they do.
Okay. So I think the that questions go to the other extreme that Venerable just mentioned, right? The nihilism.
Yeah.
Emptiness is not nihilism, I guess. That's what you just explained to us.
Yeah.
Jadi,
go ahead.
Jadi gini, sunyata itu, emptiness itu bukan berarti tidak ada apa-apa yang seperti tadi ditanyakan. Ya, emptiness itu berarti segala sesuatu itu tidak eksis seperti yang kita anggap atau sebagaimana yang kita pikirkan atau sebagaimana yang kita yakini selama ini. Dan saya tambahkan, kalau maksudnya saya ngobrol dengan beliau, pemikiran bahwa tidak ada kegembiraan, tidak ada saya itu termasuk kategori nihilisme yang tadi sudah dibahas di salah satu kutub ekstrimnya.
For example, if you look at the Dalai Lama, he's been studying his whole life emptiness, meditating on emptiness. I think he has really good understanding of emptiness. But he's not like a zombie. You know, no feelings. He's very joyful, full of joy. He's now 85 years old or something like that. So, but he's always smiling and laughing and enjoying things and enjoying people and so on. So he's a good example of how understanding emptiness doesn't mean you don't have any feelings.
Okay. Nah, kita dapat melihat Yang Mulia Dalai Lama sebagai sebuah contoh bahwa memahami sunyata tidak berarti seseorang tidak punya perasaan atau tidak lagi merasakan apa-apa. Perhatikan bagaimana beliau telah belajar sedemikian lama, memeditasikan sunyata sekian lama, dan beliau kemana-mana ceria, senyum, ya, memuncul apa mewujudkan sukacita dan kegembiraan. Jadi memahami sunyata bukan berarti kita jadi manusia yang tidak lagi merasakan apapun.
Yeah, so actually, the more you understand emptiness, the more joy you have, I think. And the less suffering, the less anger and greed and unhappiness. So your negative emotions actually go down, become less. But your positive emotions like joy, love, compassion, they increase, they grow.
Ya, malah sebaliknya ya. Pemahaman tentang sunyata ini malah memunculkan, mengembangkan lebih banyak sisi-sisi positif. Ya, kegembiraan, sukacita, kebahagiaan. Dan malah emosi-emosi dan perasaan-perasaan negatif itu malah semakin berkurang dan lenyap malah.
Is that okay for that answer?
Yes, yes. Because I think some people sometimes get trapped into the other extreme, nihilism. And that's yeah. why the questions come up. But thank you for explaining and clarifying it. I really like the example of the host, His Holiness Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
So he is 85, yeah?
He's 85, yeah.
So we hope that he is still healthy and can teach us more.
Well, he says he's going to live until maybe 110, 113. We hope so.
I wish I could get a chance to meet him one day. Okay. Honorable, we still have the second question. Maybe.
Yeah, so the second question, when we know something bad or wrong is happening and it's out of our control to fix it, I tend to be skeptic and just think, okay, can't do nothing, just let it go. It will soon pass, just wait and see. Is it okay to think like that? I can do nothing. So I don't know if you want to translate it into Bahasa or...
Yeah, yeah. Let me translate for a moment. Jadi pertanyaannya adalah ketika saya melihat sesuatu yang terjadi, ya, sesuatu ini buruk dan saya tidak punya kontrol apapun untuk dapat memperbaikinya, saya cenderung skeptis dan berpikir, oh, saya nggak bisa ngapa-ngapain, ya udah biarin aja, saya cuma mau menunggu dan melihat. Nah, apakah pemikiran seperti ini boleh atau baik?
So there's one verse in a text by Shantideva. I don't know if you've heard of Shantideva. He was a great Indian master about 1,000 years ago. And he wrote a text called A Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, the Bodhicharyavatara. Wonderful, wonderful text. And one verse in that text, it's, I don't remember exactly the words, but it goes something like, if there's a problem, and if there's a solution, a remedy to the problem, then you should, you know, apply the solution, apply the remedy, and don't just sit and be unhappy about it. But on the other hand, if there's nothing that you can do, if there is no remedy, if there's no solution, then there's no point to be unhappy about it. You should just accept it.
Ya, jadi ada satu teks dari Acharya Shantideva, ya, di mana beliau mengajarkan bahwa bila ada satu masalah dan ada jalan keluarnya, maka itu harus diterapkan. Sebaliknya, bila tidak ada solusinya atau Anda tidak dapat melakukan apapun, ya, apa tidak perlu dipikirkan terlalu jauh, ya. Intinya seperti ini.
So if there's a problem or if there's something happening out there in the world and it's bad and it's wrong and you feel, oh, this isn't good, I should, you know, it shouldn't be like that. You have to ask yourself, is there anything you can do? If there, you know, is there something I can do to change that? or to stop it, to get rid of it. And if there is something you can do, then do it. But sometimes there's nothing that we can do. We can't fix it. We can't change it. And in that case, it's better to just accept it. And we can still do our Dharma practice. We can practice the Dharma, work on our mind. But we have to accept we cannot change the external situation.
Ya, jadi bila ada satu masalah di dunia, di luar, yang kita tidak mampu melakukan apapun, ya kita terima saja kenyataan itu. Tapi kita juga bisa dapat mempraktikkan Dharma, ya. Dan tidak ada yang dapat kita lakukan untuk mengubah kondisi eksternal.
So, for example, here in America, we just had the election, the presidential election, which you probably heard about. And I know here in the Abbey, in the monastery, and also all of our friends, we really wanted to try to fix things and make sure that the current president doesn't have another 4 years. And so, well, we voted and we encouraged other people to vote and we wrote letters. And I know some of our friends were actually more involved in, you know, political actions to try to, you know, bring about a change in the government. We made donations. So there's certain things we could do to bring about a change. Okay. So you do those things, but then you have to realize, well, that's as much as I can do. I can't do any more than that. And so fortunately, we're all very happy about the outcome. And we're happy that we were able to make some contribution to that. But on the other hand, if the majority of people in the country had voted for Donald Trump, then we just have to accept that. We can't do anything about that.
Salah satu contohnya adalah di pemilihan presiden, ya. Di Abi, mereka kecenderungannya adalah mengganti presidennya. Jadi mereka memilih, kemudian membuat donasi juga, memenuhi surat, mendorong orang-orang untuk memilih. Dan sekarang hasilnya sesuai dengan ekspektasi. Tapi bila hasilnya tidak sesuai dengan yang mereka mau, ya kita terima saja, gitu, karena tidak ada yang dapat kita lakukan. Jadi poinnya adalah kita melakukan sejauh yang kita mampu, sejauh yang kita dapat lakukan.
So in other words, short answer is, if there's something you can do, do it. And if there's nothing you can do, accept it. But still do your prayers, do your meditation, do your Dharma practice.
Singkatnya, bila ada yang dapat Anda lakukan, lakukan. Bila tidak, terima. Tapi tetap melakukan doa dan praktik Dharma.
Is that okay?
Yes. We have the question. I mean, the person who asked the question is here with us. She's smiling. I think probably she accepted the
call. Yeah. Thank you, Venerable.
Yeah, because to worry and be upset, be unhappy, that doesn't do any good at all, right?
No good at all. Just do what we can do in our portion. In our portion.
Yeah.
Thank you, Venerable.
Ya, terlalu kecewa, terlalu cemas juga, ya, nggak ada gunanya, ya. Jadi, lakukanlah sesuai dengan porsi yang kita mampu.
Yeah, I find that verse of Shantideva really, really helpful. So when I'm facing a problem, I remember that one and I use that one to manage this situation. It's very helpful.
Ya, jadi, buat saya, syair Shantideva itu sangat menolong ketika ada masalah. Jadi sangat-sangat membantu. Ya. Yeah.
So, is there another question?
I think we have one more. It's related to it's in bahasa. Is there any relation between anicca,
impermanence
and illusion? I don't really understand the question because it's quite short. Adakah relasi antara anicca, adanya perubahan, katakanlah ilusi, dengan sesuatu yang berubah, dengan si nyata? Okay, is there any relation between impermanence and this emptiness?
And emptiness.
Yeah, the relation between impermanence and emptiness.
Some relation, because understanding impermanence is kind of a helpful step towards understanding emptiness.
Ya, karena ada hubungan ya. Jadi memahami ketidakkekalan ini adalah sebuah batu loncatan untuk dapat memahami sunyata.
I mean, they're not exactly the same, and understanding impermanence doesn't mean automatically you understand emptiness, but it's helpful. It's a helpful step.
Jadi memahami ketidakkekalan itu tidak otomatis Anda langsung paham sunyata, tapi ini langkah yang sangat menolong untuk memahami si sunyata.
Because when you understand impermanence really deeply, you understand that an object like an iPhone, for example, is made of these tiny particles, like, you know, atoms and subatomic particles, and they're changing all the time. Constantly changing. So there's nothing there that's fixed and solid and permanent. Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
So that helps you to, yeah, you don't see things as so solid anymore.
Jadi memahami ketidakkekalan ini membuat kita mampu mengerti bahwa satu objek itu pada dasarnya tidak selalu sama. Ya, misalnya iPhone itu terdiri dari berbagai unsur dan bila diteliti lagi secara lebih mendalam, unsur-unsurnya itu tidak ada yang kekal. Nah, jadi pemahaman ini membuat kita benar-benar ngerti bahwa itu nggak ada sesuatu yang solid, ya, yang utuh dari sananya.
But emptiness is even deeper than that. It's more deep than impermanence.
Tapi sunyata itu jauh lebih dalam daripada ketidakkekalan. It's I think it's 9 p.m. already, Honorable.
Yeah.
It's a very wonderful time spent with you tonight.
Yeah, well, it's been very nice for me. I hope it's been helpful for everybody.
And I just got a text from one of the bhikkhu in my sangha that it seems like we have published your book on meditation.
Yeah, I heard this book called How to Meditate, and I heard it was translated into Bahasa Indonesian.
Bahasa Indonesia, yeah.
Yeah.
Some friends who need to understand more about Buddha's teaching can benefit from the book.
Yeah.
So, okay, once again,
thank you.
Thank you for the teaching, and we are looking forward to receive teaching from you again in the future.
So, do you do some dedication prayers at the end?
Yes, we do some dedication.
Yes. Okay. So, thank you so much for translating and asking your questions and so on. It's been very nice to do this with you.
Sabi. Jadi kita mulai dedikasi kebajikannya ya. Dengan kebajikan ini, semoga kita segera mencapai pencerahan seperti Guru Buddha. Maka kita mampu membebaskan semua makhluk dari penderitaannya. Semoga batin pencerahan yang berharga ini, bila belum muncul, akan segera bangkit dan berkembang. Semoga yang telah bangkit tidak merosot, tetapi terus berkembang selama-lamanya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you, Venerable, for the teaching.
Thank you.